All right, The Drive is live. It is a Victory Tuesday. Clint is in the building. Tyler is in the building. He doesn't have a Victory Tuesday shirt on, so I guess he just, I don't think they make a Victory Tuesday shirt. So he didn't own one, so he doesn't have that on.
Somebody should, damn it.
You should have just worn the Victory Monday shirt and ran some tape or something across it that said Tuesday. That would have been an easier
thing. That's actually a good idea. I should have thought of that.
So, hey, you got a Saturday game coming up that maybe that they'll win. So maybe you can wear your Victory Sunday shirt. Who knows? But
is that Marilyn Monroe on your shirt?
Maybe.
Oh, that's a Pez girl, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, she's winning.
I never really thought about it. I just thought it was like a black and white, you know, prim looking lady eating some Pez.
Yep. Someone text in funny Ron telling people what to wear. Yeah, I am. Sucker. But also, it is a Mad Dog Monday. Pop it open. Finally, it's been a couple of weeks. A Mad Dog Monday.
Bottoms up, boys.
There you go. There it is.
Oh, I'm jealous. That looks refreshing today after that Cowboys ass whooping. How you Cowboys fans out there feeling today? Feeling a little sad?
Oh, wow.
A little curious about where the future's going for your Cowboys?
No gallbladder. To hell with it.
Oh, good Lord.
Wow.
I didn't even realize Ron the Show Hughley just went Ron the Show Hughley.
Wow.
He just downed that whole Mad Dog
Tuesday, baby.
He bubbled to MD 2020 on the Cowboys Tuesday, ass.
Baby. You're about to have a hell of a buzz, my friend.
Woo! There it is, baby. Mad Dog Tuesday done. In the building. It's the first one.
For the record, folks, it's peaches and cream flavor. It is peaches and cream.
It is, man.
Hey, first peaches, one, man. Peaches.
You
just,
never get a Tuesday.
Peaches Hughley.
That guy right there just bubbled the MD 2020 to the bottom, baby.
I'm a little pissed off that CJ. I used CJ, and CJ walked out there and did that.
That's tough.
Yeah, I wanted to, in my mind, debate. You know, I mean, it's only four catches, 54 yards with Nico Collins. But that interception was so bad that I said, no, don't worry, I got it. I got this one. Not to mention a couple of missed throws. But the Texans got the W. And listen, I'm going to say this to you. Boy, did they need that. I mean everybody that is associated and calls themselves a part of the Houston Texans nation, team, whatever is referred to. All of you, everybody that's a fan, that is listening, that watches them every single week, that is invested, y'all needed that. The Texans, they all needed that.
Yeah, we did.
The way D'Amico was in the post game, he was giddy, running up and down. It's like that was needed. That was absolutely needed for the Texans fan base and the Texans family, because these last couple of weeks was rough. And how it started was exactly how it needed to start, right off the bat. They had a touchdown. Welcome back, Nico. They got called back on. But I believe is kind of a technicality, but whatever. And then you ran it right down their throats anyway, and it was off to the races. So it was needed, baby.
I love Joe Mixon.
It was well needed. We absolutely needed it, no doubt about it, and we will take it, damn it. Now here's the beautiful thing about this.
Bully ball, what?
You know, yes, that right there. What I really like about this in hindsight, because I'll be honest with you, I didn't see it coming, although there was a really good chance that it was going to be a Texan skull dragon. I just didn't think of it in this term. The Texans organization, I thought going into it, hey, look, the Texans are the team from a win-lose standpoint. They got everything to lose and not a whole hell of a lot to gain.
Yeah.
But I was wrong. The gain part of the Texans, Ron, was... The debate no longer is about, well, who's got the better quarterback in the state. And I mean, it is head to toe. Throw me a title out there that's involved in an organization, front office and on the football team. Throw me a position, a title, a name, and the Houston Texans are better.
They're not even in the same class.
It's not even remotely close.
The same same football. And for me, I know there may be some others that look at it differently. There was never, ever any point of the game when I felt the Texans was in any way, shape, or form in trouble of losing that game.
Weak ass Cowboys.
But not one. I don't care if it was 20-10, it was 17-10. There never at any point did I think anything that the Cowboys were doing that were positive was sustainable. They tried to quit right before the thing started. You're in this space where you're just absolutely that much better. I mean, that much better than what they put on the table.
Yeah, just as an organization as a whole. I mean, again, you start with ownership all the way down, and it's just, I mean, to think that, you know, you may look at their rosters and just say, boy, when healthy, these rosters are comparable. No, it's not. I mean, those guys are quitting. Those guys are. There's such a lack of physicality that the Texans' physicality, which was impressive, had them frustrated from jump. Like, it's like they went out there and they got into a fight with somebody that could fight a little bit, and it frustrated them. Instead of them fighting back, it just frustrated them. So they started slinging around guys and taking cheap shots and just getting mad because guys are finishing through the whistle. And I mean, that is an extremely soft football team. It's an extremely soft organization, full of a bunch of quitters, a bunch of finger pointers. You know, top to bottom, it's an absolute mess. And this is one of those deals where a lot of this is on Jerry. But if we're being honest, like, Jerry can't afford, like, the longer Jerry lets this ride, the worse it gets. Like, this is one where Jerry needs to fire them all right now.
He doesn't sound like he's getting close to changing anything.
He needs to fire any of them making decisions and any of them that are setting tones and at least trying to uphold some level of a culture. Fire them all. Get them the hell out of the building. And the expectation isn't, boy, this next guy, this interim, is going to make things happen. No, the thought is, get the bad ones out of the building right now. That's how bad it is.
Like, can he get himself out of the building?
No, that's not happening. I mean, you said
the bad ones out of the building.
That's not happening. I mean, look, Will McClay, Stephen Jones, Jerry Jr., Jerry Sr., Charlotte, they ain't going nowhere. They're going to be there.
They can't get all the bad ones.
But at the end of the day, like Mike McCarthy is as Reggie Atitula pointed out in the loop right in the crossover. I mean, he's going to the postgame presser and making it loud and clear, like, the quarterback decision ain't mine. Like Mike has quit siding with and just taking the bullets for ownership.
He should have.
I agree wholeheartedly. But what you're saying is exactly why you got to get him out of the building. It's going to get worse and worse and worse.
All right, it is a Texans Ticket Tuesday. Not only did the Texans get a W, and we got a reaction Tuesday today, you have a chance in the 5 o'clock hour to win a pair of front row seat tickets in the bullpen. That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Hey, you can win a pair of those tickets.
It's one of Mo Tickety Tuesdays, isn't it?
That's what I said, man. I'm not saying it. You're not going to get me. I said it once, and then I'm never listening.
It is a Texans
Ticket. It's a tickety.
I'm not getting
it. It's
getting
a tickety, Ron. You came
what
up
with a pair.
I mean, we created something.
I'm not. It's the Texans Ticket Tuesday,
it
baby.
It is a Texans
coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. All right.
Texans Tickety Tuesday. Take that how you want. You can win some tickets.
Texans Ticket Tuesday is what I said.
Or you can get
baby.
Real tickety.
Slipping it up. Not slipping it up. Texans Ticket Tuesday. 5 o'clock hour coming up. Yeah, man. It's a Mad Dog Monday. Why not, man? If you're out somewhere, grab that Mad Dog. I can't believe you bubbled it. I had to go to two stores.
That's blind tips. Got you really worked up, man.
Listen, it's the first one on a Tuesday. It's the first Mad Dog Tuesday, and I felt like you had to, you know, give Tuesday its proper due.
Fair.
Had to give it proper due. All right. Damn. This was, we talked about it. This is what the doctor ordered for the Texans, the team, the fans, everybody.
Yeah.
And it was the perfect, let's get back on track game. Right, it was the perfect type of setup and game that the Texans needed in what happened yesterday.
Yeah, it's definitely what they needed, and it's the get right game, right? I mean, I think that was one thing that we heard. Sean and I obviously agreed. You guys agree that a lot of the callers last night on the post game show into the wee hours of this morning. By the way, about 1:15, 1:30, we got off the airways. So it was a late one. But the thought of a get right game is spot on. But I think the key here is, Ron, what exactly does that mean for the Texans? Because I think everybody would agree that it was definitely that. But what does it mean for the Texans? And there's a few things here. I think it was important that Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud, those two guys, stacking days of a good game plan and the right mind frame when you're executing said game plan, to be able to stack two games in a row on top of one another, one versus what I think is the best team in football, the Detroit Lions, and then on the flip side of that, the worst team in football, the Dallas Cowboys.
They're the worst.
I mean, when you factor in the quitting and the injuries.
I think the Panthers might get them coming up. They got the Panthers coming up. I think the Panthers might get them.
I do, too. I do, too. Because, look, I think there's a real good chance CeeDee Lamb throws a towel in here.
God. You mean before he, like, not even to suit up to throw the towel in?
Yeah, he was questionable for this game.
Because he threw it in the middle of the game.
He was questionable for this game. Yeah, there's a good chance he's done. But just the simple fact that we saw Bobby Slowick, who I'll argue made a drastic, don't argue about it, it's just facts. He made a drastic change in his game plan and his play calling from week 9 to week 10, and here we stacked it on, boom, week 11. We've got two games in a row where the quarterback seemed to be working low to high. The quarterback seemed to be working to protect the offensive line and protect himself. Bobby seemed to be calling plays to protect the offensive line and to protect the quarterback and play to the strengths, play call to the strengths of the offense. That was big, and that was reinforcing what we saw against Detroit. The defense, Ron, big topic last night on the postgame show as well. The defense just proven again how dominant – they can be with D'Amico Ryans on the ones and twos, and hell, they're missing two to three key starters, spots that were without a doubt like questionable going to that game. How you gonna handle this? How you gonna cover? They go out there and the defense proves dominant once again.
We're
11 weeks into this thing, Ron, and it's a beautiful thing. And then, you know, there's something about stop the bleeding. There's something about when adversity strikes, the big thing is not going out and throwing for 400 yards and not going out and winning, you know, just like blowing the doors off somebody, even though you did. The key is just stop the bleeding, right? Don't get to three in a row losses. Don't get to where you lose four or five. Don't get to where you start pointing fingers. Just get right in a stance of let's get off of this losing streak and let's get right. And then I think the fourth thing here, Ron, is Indy won yesterday. And Indy won.
Sunday. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Sunday. They won in impressive fashion. Anthony Richardson played really, really good football. He played the football that we all look at and go, boy, if he does that, he's a difference maker and they're going to be tough. They're going to be a tough out. So the ability to keep Indy.
Really happy for him, by the way.
Yeah.
For me personally, I know some of you, he's a Colt, but. Like, for him to respond that way,
yeah.
They give him the ball, they need to score a touchdown, and he drives them down there to score a touchdown, and they come back and win that game.
He needed some success. He needed to see it.
I was happy for him.
Absolutely. It's okay to be happy for him now. We've already played him twice. Yeah. Ain't no big deal. It's good. But keeping Indy at bay, keeping Indy back three games ultimately, two games on the record book, and then the third game with you having won both of the matchups, you obviously are 2.5 games up on Indy, so keeping them at bay, I think, was important this week, obviously, because they won. So when you talk about get right game, man, there's several aspects of this squad that ultimately got right, got back on the right side, got back on track, and seemed to be for a week trending in the right direction.
No, yeah, it was big, and no better team for them inside the locker room and for the city. We talked about this. I said this last week. This is what the doctor ordered. This is one of the worst teams in football.
Weak ass Cowboys.
And it's the Dallas Cowboys. The fans will feel better. Hell, I got people like they've turned the corner after the last 2 weeks. Bring on Kansas City. Bring on Buffalo. There you go. You knew that conversation was going to be had. We were rolling in the last week. People up here talking about firing Bobby Slowick, firing people and all this and that. And calm down. There it is. They scored in the second half. Both offense and defense, they did what they needed to do. They put up 34 points, and they just beat the brakes. By the way, six straight games the Dallas Cowboys have trailed by at least 20 points at some point of the game at home.
Which
is their record. And they lost all six of those. And the Texans added to that thing. Listen, and I want to say this before we roll out on this Victory Tuesday. Some of you can't stand me. Some of you aren't a fan of me. I'm not your cup of tea. That's fine. But you know, I think most of you know, I'm going to be completely honest with you. And I'm going to be honest here as well. I have never, ever been more impressed by the Houston Texans fan base than I was last night. On TV,
hey,
in Dallas, you did what has happened far too many times, in my opinion, in NRG. You did that to the Dallas Cowboys. Y'all asses got out there and showed up. That was the group we saw in camp. The group in camp that just showed up 100 deep to some damn bar out of nowhere was trying to charge people $20 for parking. I digress. But y'all showed up 100 deep in that piece and just took over the whole place and showed up and took over all of Canton at the Hall of Fame. That was what we saw yesterday. So I got to give a round of applause to you all who came out. It was more than Larry, who's I'm sure going to take all the credit. Larry, don't think I didn't hear you on the postgame show last week say you weren't going. But everybody, yeah, I got you. Everybody, it's Ron. But everybody that showed out, you were loud. When I mean, there were moments when Barnett scored the touchdown, when Mixon scored a touchdown, it sounded like a home game. It was so bad. The Cowboy fans rolled the hell out. You held on to it. CJ was trying to give everybody a high five afterwards. Shout out to the Texans fans. You showed the hell up, and you took over AT&T Stadium.
Strat House.
That had to. Jerry heard it. Had to have. Saw it. I saw all of y'all ladies out there in your sequins. Love the little all red sequins numbers that you all wear. So shout out to you all, Texas fans. That was clear to see. I'm catching videos from people talking, you know, yelling up and down the concourse there in that stadium, and you could hear everybody taking over. So hey, that was beautiful to see. From you.
A lot of red and Jerry World,
yeah,
baby.
We didn't get, during the game, the broadcast, we didn't get a ton of views of it, but it was obviously very clear because Aikman and...
Yeah, they had to mention it a couple of times.
Mentioned it a couple of times. And man, we had some callers on a postgame show talking 70-30 ratio. 70% Texans. That seems a little bit aggressive.
But in the fourth, definitely.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
In the fourth quarter, when they took off.
I think it's clear who runs football in the great state of Texas, boys.
Certainly right now.
Yeah, ain't no doubt about it. That state.
When would you have grabbed Joe Keyes if you was a Cowboy?
When Nico Collins went 75 on.
Well, if that's the first play of the game, it got called back.
All right, let's go.
Yeah.
You grab your keys.
All right, family. Y'all ready? Ready to hit the road?
Hey, let's go. Whoa.
I mean, wherever.
Or grab some snacks,
man,
at the concession on the way out.
No, I tell
man,
you what.
Get your coat. Let's go. Linda, come on, put that damn Coors Light. You can drink it on the way out. Let's go.
I just said, low. I said, grab these kids, take them to the house.
Damn,
I'm
going
to go down here. I'm going down here to that field level suite with Bun B and Ken Hamlin and them, and I'm finna get busted.
Sitting in these damn seats. I'm not waiting in this traffic on the way. Let's go.
I'm fixing to go down here to maybe the worst suite that money can buy, a bunker suite at a football game. You can't see nothing. You are literally eye level with the back of kneecaps. I don't know what the hell folks paying for this.
For me, it's the strip sack. I would have finished my nachos and walked out.
Kids, strip I'm finishing sack. This beer, and we're getting out of here.
It's 20 to 10, man. It's 20. I might have rolled out. It's 20 to 10. I may have been pissed off so much that he missed that 40-yard field goal that would have made it 17 to 13 going into the half.
Mm-hmm.
That might have made me roll, but you talking about right off the bat. Because there was some good, solid quit in them to kick that thing off. Nobody, well, I mean, look, seemed like anybody wanted to make that
tackle. If you're Mike Zimmer, I love Mike, man. Mike's my guy. But if you're Mike Zimmer and everybody in the NFL world is talking about Nico Collins' comeback and your ass lets him go 75 on a screen.
I can't. He's got to take them glasses off, them readers.
Who, Mike? Them old blue frame readers?
He just looks confused in them readers.
I mean, he went 75 untouched on a screen, Ron. He was untouched. Like, how do you let the best dude on, like, that everybody's been talking about for a week now, how do you let that guy loose on a screen?
I don't know.
Like, what in the hell is going on?
Texans had some injuries there in the secondary. Let's talk about that, because there was a lot of good and there was some questions there as well. Let's get into the cover defenders for the Texans coming up next.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Weak ass Cowboys.
It's a special edition Shoppers John Deere Reaction Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's it. Game over. The Houston Texans blow out the Dallas Cowboys on the road, 34-10. They snap their two-game slide and build their record to 7-4 with the Titans at NRG Stadium up next.
Speaking of people who needed it, I think Vandy and Andre needed it.
Mm-hmm, didn't they?
I think Robert Hensley, he needed it. Aaron, they need all of them up there. They needed that.
Hey, I needed it.
Every week, though.
Yeah, good, big win. Exactly what Houston, the Texans, everybody associated with the Texans organization needed. They got a big, big dub last night. All right, Clint, I think a big point of the game, we heard D'Amico say it afterwards, we got to handle 88. And in the secondary, that was a big deal, right? I'll be honest with you, I did not have Cooper Rush throwing for more yards than C.J. Stroud on my bingo card, but obviously they threw it 50 times, so I mean that's a part of it. But what were your thoughts in 713-572-4-16? Those of you that are on the 5 Hour Energy fan line, 5 Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610, and football fans, those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well, what'd you think about the secondary? What were your thoughts about the secondary?
Well, look, I was obviously spot on with the Derek Stingley shadow game. This was
I asked you to travel with him.
I asked you to travel with him, and here's your game ball because you whooped that ass. This was a Derek Stingley shadow game any way you slice it. CeeDee Lamb was the only chance they had offensively. I totally forgot about Turpin, who went the distance on one play. That is an explosive little sucker. But, you know, CeeDee Lamb is obviously the straw that stirs the drink, if you will, in Houston. And Derek Stingley Jr., I didn't know if D'Amico would do it, but he clearly did. It was part of the plan, as he said in the postgame meeting with the team, that he asked Stingley to shadow CeeDee Lamb, and he did it, and he kept him from impacting the game damn near at all. The one time that he hit on a little longer throw, it was slid into Kadar Holman somehow. But yeah, I think the good of it is that Derek Stingley Jr., I don't know if I like this, or let me put it this way, I'm not real comfortable with this, but I think it's probably accurate at this point in time. Like, Derek Stingley Jr. has the mentality of a guy that's already won a few championships. He has the mentality of a guy.
What do you mean by that?
Well, just like, I'm just trying to get through the regular season. I'm just trying to get to the games that matter. And when coach looks at me and says, hey, this one matters, I need you to step up and do big things and take a guy out of the box score, essentially, then I think that's when Derek Stingley puts his best foot forward, and that's when Derek Stingley turns that thing on. I mean, there is a real, like with Derek Stingley Jr., there is a...
That was a different guy than we saw all year.
It's a quiet, passive dude that's just like, I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be when I'm supposed to be there. And but boy, when D'Amico says I need you to lock this dude up, it's like Derek Stingley puts his championship caliber mindset to task here. And I thought he was tremendous. I thought there was times when he was running routes for CeeDee Lamb. There's times where he is in his hip pocket and tackling him short of the sticks. There's times when he decided to play soft and the errant throw just hits him right in the chest. And so Derek Stingley Jr., again, I'm not real comfortable with it because I think throughout the year, Stingley is almost disinterested at times. But boy, when it's crunch time and when it's go time and when it matters and when D'Amico says I need you, he's as good as anybody out there right now. And last night was a perfect example of that.
Yeah, I would say from Derek Stingley, that for me personally, now many others may disagree or whatever. That, to me personally, that was the best. That was the Derek Stingley that we saw at the end of last year.
Yeah.
the one that won Defensive Player of the Month to end the season, the one that many people thought he was going to come in. Like, Pro Football Focus has had him ranked like the 21st best corner in the league, you know, throughout these first 10 weeks or whatever. Yesterday, he looked like what many people thought could be a top three corner in this league. That was Patrick Surtain level. That was Trent McDuffie level. That was the top corners in the league level. They just couldn't do nothing. I mean, when you force a PI, an offensive pass interference in the end zone, when you pull that off, like you do it, like they couldn't handle him. It didn't matter. Tolbert, whatever. The play he made with CeeDee Lamb coming across the field and he took off immediately and ran him down and made that tackle, because if he doesn't make that tackle, CeeDee gets that first down. That just showed how locked in and keyed in he was.
What he's capable of, right? I mean, like I guess my overall point is, like you said, would you say PFF had him ranked as the 21st best corner? I mean, that's about right. I mean, there's a level of you know, just being passive and being okay with guys catching balls in front of you instead of being the get-in-your-face physical guy until he needs to get in your face and be that physical guy. So it's no surprise that that's where an advanced stat program would rank him. But man, last night was impressive. Now, on the bad side of things, when it comes to your cover defenders with the Texans, I think it's clear right now, Ron, you tell me if you agree or disagree, the third best cover defender on this team right now, legit, is Jalen Petrie. I mean, I know that's not what I would like this to be, but Jeff Okuda just gets shook out of his shoes on a slant route.
Can we give him
route.
Another shot? Can we see a little
I don't
bit
know.
More?
I don't know. We sure. I mean, we can.
We
I mean,
we got to give him a little bit more.
I don't think we have a choice.
It didn't bode well. They put him in the slot. He gave up the inside. I don't like. Maybe he was confused because clearly, 2-1 was behind him on the outside and not on the inside. And he just seemed to let and just gave him the inside
leverage.
Well,
I think he just got, he knew he was up against a guy that could run and got shook out of his damn boots immediately. And look, I'm okay with getting shook out of your boots, but when you get shook so far out of your boots that you look like me when I had ran that long one against Denver and my ass blew up about the 5-yard line.
Oh,
like
no.
I'm more worried about what Jeff Okuda looked like chasing him than I am the fact that he got shook out of his boots.
A Turpin's quick.
I mean, yeah, he's real quick.
He didn't have a chance.
But you could look like a track athlete. When you're a corner, I need you to at least look like a track athlete chasing.
You look like
my ass was chasing.
You think Petrie would have had a better shot at that?
No, I don't. I think Petrie would have had a better shot of guarding him from jump. Like, would have at least been competitive. Like, he got beat first step.
Okuda was looking like Mike Tyson in the 7th round.
He got beat all the steps.
He got beat all the steps. Yeah, every last one of them. I'm just going to tell you, Holman, Okuda. What was my man's name? Ross? I mean,
get you some cardio in this week, bud.
Yeah, man. Lassiter, get your ass back. Get your ass healthy, man. Let's go.
Now, listen, Jeff did not look good on that play. And they tried him. They tried him in the slot. Like, they tried him where they want to, where they need help. And that one did not go well. Now, let's maybe see him.
I'm hoping to see some more, but I'm as we go along here, that was not pretty, wasn't it? Whew, that looked like an older safety trying to chase down.
Like, no, the concern is, and I know we got to get out. The concern is, like, I don't know how much better Kamari Lassiter would have done in the slot.
Kamari and Petrie would have gave him hell in the first five yards. That old boy could run away from anybody we got out there. But in the first, the key was you gave the quarterback an immediate throw in the ocean. Literally the first step.
No hands.
I mean, that was bad right there. I mean, you can't get beat like that and not have makeup speed.
Got beat like he stole something.
Ooh-wee. And Turpin ran like he stole something.
It did.
Bad combo right there.
When I saw my man pulling up at the 10, nobody getting him. Yeah, that was rough. All right, coming up, you can join us as well on the 5-Hour Energy Fan text line. And those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well, you can join us here. Our players of the game. We're going to give you our players of the game. There are a lot of choices in a 34-10 ass kicking. We'll do that coming up next.
It's a special edition Shoppers John Deere Reaction Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I've seen some people on the text line reaching out, say, how's that neutered? neutered dog happening for you with Bear.
It felt like it ripped my nuts off.
You know, I don't, I didn't, a couple of things. Trey continued to walk behind him and tried to continue to look at his missing balls.
He's curious.
Nicholas and Trey, anytime it was talked about, they would grab their balls and like feel of like, oh my God.
It's oh, they're still there.
And Lauren was shook.
With a father talking about it the way you did the last 3 days.
I got home and I had to like console her multiple times. I had to get her out of, because what aww. Really she yeah, she's
you tell
scared.
Her you had them in a jar?
I wanted
you were gonna
them.
Rat them.
But like so he had the tube down his throat because he had anesthesia.
Mm-hmm.
So his bark is he don't have a bark. It's
a little raspy.
Like he's a strong barker.
Right.
And so that every time he barks, like she thinks like he's just gonna fall. He's gonna fall dead.
Right, right, right.
And so I had to come in there and listen, it's okay. I had a controller. Here, take your iPad. Just hang in your room a little bit. And every time
take
it,
your iPad,
after
your room
I after I
bit.
After I consoled her for about 10 minutes, you know, she thought he was really, really in bad shape. I said, here, just hang out in here. Because he can't jump up on stuff. He can't run. It's quick walks. He can't.
You got the like, cone on.
We had to ended up having to put it on him because he kept trying to lick, trying to get down to lick to it. But he hadn't had no problems. But he had to put it on him. But he looked like a damn flower. Then Lauren saw him in the cone and really thought, like, oh God, he's
something's
wrong. But my thing is, I guess it's supposed to at some point, like I don't know, like tighten up. But it's just they just left. It's just like they took the balls out.
Like an empty sack.
It'll tighten up.
And left the sack. And that sack is just flowing.
It'll dry up like a raisin.
Yeah, it'll
shake. Yeah, no, that sack is just flowing behind it. And I am. I'm feeling bad for him. I'm like, damn, well, them suckers are just gone, man.
Sounds like you felt real bad for him.
I did.
Those are just in a biohazard bin somewhere.
Now we'll see if something happens. Yeah, man, that sedative put him on down, boy.
It F's him up.
Yeah, he ain't playing. So, nah, man, he's good. Got it done. You know, he's good to go, man. And now I can play with the other dogs without fear of him impregnating them. So, good times for him, man. And hopefully he gets himself calmed down. But
I'm glad you took that from him just so your life be a little cheaper, a little easier.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
I mean, you took that joy from him, man.
Yeah.
For selfish reasons.
Well. If he didn't bite all three of our kids, maybe I would have.
There's plenty of puppers out there that need adopting.
Yep. Nah, yeah, he's good to go.
It's like Bob Barker told us, please get your pet spayed and neutered.
5-hour energy fan text line 713-572-4610. Those are on YouTube and Twitch. I'm serious. Have you noticed a real difference when your dog is neutered? Like, do you see a major difference in the calmness and the aggressiveness? I'm just because I feel like if there is any dog to do it, to kind of push through,
to just not be affected,
and push through it and continue to be as aggressive and as wild as he is, it's Bear.
We had one that went through it. Back in my earlier years.
Went through having their balls cut off?
Yeah, a dog that I lost in a divorce. He's about the only good thing to come from it. But he had him, it dried up like a raisin. He was all good, man.
Yeah, I don't know from experience because I've never had a male dog, but all my like buddies and stuff that have done this, they swear by it. They're like, oh man, he settled the hell down finally.
Yeah, people say they'll get fat. All right, yeah, let's see, yeah.
Low T,
maybe. Actually, I'll hit him to the men's clinic. I bet they can get him going.
His testosterone producers are gone.
Just get him going. All right, let's do it now. Our Man Eye Institute players of the game. We do this each and every week. Clint, lead it off. Who is your player of the game from that victory yesterday?
Man, we talked a lot about it in the last segment, about this guy in the last segment, man. It's Derek Stingley Jr. for me, man. It's to have that guy prove or show, I don't know anything to prove, but show once again that D'Amico Ryans has that in his bag of, hey, if it comes around in a game where we need in a moment or from a game plan perspective, we need Derek Stingley Jr. to eliminate someone from the box score, to eliminate someone that's typically an explosive player, to run all over the field with him, to match up physically with him, to cause problems and disrupt the opponent's best pass catcher on the field. Derek Stingley Jr. has proven multiple times now that he is up to the task, and he is really, really good with it. And in those moments, he's absolutely tremendous, Ron. So for me, the defense was lights out. The only way that the Cowboys were going to have a chance to stay in this game through four quarters was if CeeDee Lamb had a big impact on the game, and Derek Stingley Jr. made sure that didn't happen. And so I got to ride with Derek Stingley Jr. as my man-eye player of the game for the Cowboys-Texans Monday night matchup that turned into a skull dragon by our Texans.
I think he was the best player on the field. Like, just in terms of what you saw, obviously there's some others, and maybe some of those guys will come in to fold on our players of the games, and some of yours, those of you on the text line, those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well. But I think he was the best player in the game. Got a pick, got his hands on multiple other balls.
You're a Tiger, but now you're a Texan.
And they just could not do anything with him. He was a spectacular performance from him. Tyler, who is your Man-Eye Institute player of the game?
I got to go with that dog. Carry the rock. 5.5 yards a carry, 20 carries, 109 yards, 3 touchdowns. Joe Mixon. I'm going with Joe Mixon.
Joe set the tone.
Them celebrations too, boy. Woo!
He really gets it. The one where his elbow was down.
Oh yeah, this
and
one.
And somebody could have run over there with him and done it with him when he spun the ball and he does his deal or whatever. Somebody could have, like, everybody else knew it. Like John Metchie, that's got to be your Hutchinson. That's got to be your job. You go and celebrate with him as well, so he doesn't look like a fool by himself. And everybody in the building knows it's coming back except for him. And he gets after it. But he most definitely set the tone.
Bullet right? Ball,
what? And I know you said it last week, Clint, that there was some runs and some cutbacks that you thought he missed against the Lions.
Yeah.
I'm sure he probably saw that too. And, they couldn't do anything with him. And he was definitely a tone setter. CJ said it. He talked about it with Scott Van Pelt after the game. So, yeah, he was spectacular.
He was a bad man once again. I mean, there's one game that he started and finished with the Houston Texans that he didn't go for 100 yards, and that was against the Detroit Lions, who's a really stout run defense. And so
what did he go for, 1.8 a carry?
Something like
five,
that.
To 5.5 yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, it's just when it's all said and done, you watch him, and it's just he's moving at a different pace. He's finishing with a different level of physicality. His ability to bounce ball inside runs, that are inside, let's say, just the tight end box. The ability to for it not to be there. He appears to be bottled up, and he bounces it, and the race for the pylon is on, and he's not losing that. I mean, he's got a unique combination of, you know, twitch, size, and speed to get the corner. It's impressive. It's convincing. Mm-hmm. And the Texans are going to be tough to beat when Joe Mixon is rolling. I mean, the quarterback is going to have to just be completely lights out. I mean, you know, just completely off. Everybody else is going to have to be injured. So, I just think with Joe Mixon rolling, this is going to be a tough team to beat.
What about you, Ron?
I'll give mine to Cornbread on YouTube and Twitch. Said Danielle Hunter and Derek Stingley. Danielle Hunter was a problem all night. 78 still was holding on for dear life. Someone, Champ Slice, who by the way said he celebrated with his wife. It just gave her everything he had last night after that victory. So he said she needed it. He said John Metchie for laying the wood and being prepared, and also had a couple of catches. He tackled somebody and ran somebody on the sideline. For me, man, I know he had the stupid head slap thing, but Derek Barnett coming around, strip sack, and then scooping up the fumble when Jalen Petrie, who by the way had a hell of a game too. Stripped 60 for some reason. Guyton decided to turn into a running back and not just sit his ass down. I hope you're looking at that, Titus Howard. And then Barnett picks it up and scores. He got a game ball. And that pressure was relentless. And you look at that from Hunter and him, Barnett, Autry, it is really making the missing of the Texans' best defensive player this year not feel like such a big deal. Not as much of a big deal with Will Anderson missing with him getting the pressure.
Well, Ron, like you just the defensive, the edge rusher, defensive end room for this football team right now is just absolutely tremendous. When you look at the top, when you got Daniil Hunter, Will Anderson, and Denico Autry in that group, and then you're following that up with Jerry Hughes and Derek Barnett, they have been absolutely tremendous. The old heads come in, and you expect them just to be able to set the edge, just be where you're supposed to be, do what's right. And, hell, these guys come in here, and immediately every opportunity they get, they're getting sacks, they're creating fumbles, they're creating turnovers, they're getting TFLs. I mean, it's that room for the Houston Texans has been absolutely tremendous.
All right, coming up, we do this every usually Monday, but it is Tuesday. The grade for C.J. Stroud. Let's talk the quarterback. He went 23 of 34. 257, no touchdowns, and an interception, 3 carries. This was big for Tyler for 26 yards. We'll discuss C.J. Stroud. You can text it in. What's your grade for the quarterback? That's next.